Hey, Your Honor, can you take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? Your Honor, can you take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? I did it for the land of the brave, home of the free. Find someone who's more patriotic than me. Your Honor, listen to me. Can you come and take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? Label me a white supremacist for asking questions, I get it. Demonize and silence me, cause you notice I pay attention. Telling only half the story, ignoring my real intentions. We ain't stormed no capital, we was simply paying a visit. If America was a building and it was burning and blazing, I tried to save it. I'd run inside and pull out my neighbors, don't it sound crazy? Guess I'm crazy, cause on January, that was the reason. These politicians committing treason, we came to cease it. Your Honor, can you take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? Your Honor, can you take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? I did it for the land of the brave, home of the free. By someone who's more patriotic than me. Your Honor, listen to me. Can you come and take these chains off me? Can you come and take these chains off me? Hey. Free all my justice. We marching to the Capitol while singing Star Spangled Banner. Take my rights or take my life. Under oath, I gotta fight, so it don't matter. Oh, said, can you see by them dawn's early light? Dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
We want peace. We want freedom.
America was a burning place. Don't try to save it.
We want freedom. We want peace. That pepper spray tastes like chicken.
Greetings and salutations, the happiest of holidays for all of you friends, family, patriots, and welcome to episode 43 of Freedom Unchained. I'm your host, Joe Thomas, a January 6th prisoner now, ready to report to the Bureau of Prisons on January 18th, 2024. Not looking forward to it. From what I understand, prison food sucks. But make the best of it. It's all part of God's plan. And if you catch previous episodes, you'd have got the update on my sentencing and how things went, so make sure to check that out. As always, please like, share, subscribe, give us 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps. And also share this with your friends, get the information out there, because this entire platform is to give a voice to the voiceless, those that are being persecuted, prosecuted, or discriminated against because of January 6th, as well as all those that are out front fighting for true justice in this country, and also for prison reform, election integrity, all things January 6th. Now, as you all know before, if somebody broke the law, they need to face justice, but right now that justice does not seem to be fair, true, or blind. It all depends on what side of the aisle you're on politically. And that is something that is very frustrating and infuriating to those that are in this fight. And one person who actually is a January 6th defendant now, on the day he was indicted, did an interview with Dan Wilson. And he's very passionate about what is going on in our country now. So you're going to hear from him. I want to encourage everybody to sing the anthem. We do the Sing for Freedom campaign and have been pushing it for 2 years. Hashtag Sing4Freedom. It helps revitalize patriotism. It shows the families and the inmates and defendants of January 6th that you stand in solidarity with them, that you don't agree with the injustices that are being pushed upon them by the federal government, like periodic beatings, macings, destruction of their lives, the taking of their homes, simply for being peaceful. It also brings awareness to the suffering that they go through, to get more eyes, hearts, minds, and voices involved. And for those that don't know, you might ask, well, what is Sing for Freedom? The inmates inside the jail sing the national anthem every night at 9 p.m. Eastern from their cells, behind steel doors. And when we heard that, we pushed it out into the public and said, get involved, let's stand and sing with them. So we do, every single night. Thousands of patriots across the country stand in solidarity with American citizens that have not been to trial, have not been convicted of any crime, even though they sit in prison for 2 years in the most abhorrent conditions. And this isn't just for those that are locked up. This is also for the inmates that have been sentenced who lost their due process rights. This is also for the defendants that are sitting at home on electronic confinement. This is for any of those that are persecuted, prosecuted, and discriminated against because they dared to speak up and say, "We love this nation." I also want you to visit the website, singthenumber4freedom.us. Singforfreedom.us is a central hub where you can find everything and anything you need to get involved and help out. If you want to donate to their Give Send Goes to help their families and their fundraisers, it's there and it goes directly to them. No middleman. Nobody's here to get a profit. But it goes help them save their homes, help them get lawyers, help them get what they need to stand up against this tyranny. And you can also find groups that get involved and do tons and tons of things for the January 6th defendants, inmates, and their families. Things that many people might not think of, like getting them phone cards so that they can speak to their families and loved ones. Getting them commissary on their books because they don't get enough food. Legal defense. Research funds. People out here, boots on the ground, getting involved. So check them out. Get involved and speak up. You can also send a voice message for this podcast and we'll broadcast you live so that everybody can hear it and the families can share in your love of nation as well. We have been honored with a special guest this evening that I'm going to do a quick interview, let him tell his story and share. Let me make sure I get my stuff set up so I can see chat. But, you know, as what we try to do here is to be a voice for the voiceless, to allow January 6th defendants, their families, the organizations, the attorneys, everybody that's out here in this on this side of things, to tell their story directly from them, because you're not going to hear it from the mainstream media. And this gentleman I'm about to bring in is Dan Wilson. He's, again, a January 6th defendant, and his story is extremely compelling. It's definitely something you're not going to hear in the mainstream propaganda media, the talking heads on TV. So without further ado, let's bring him in. What up, buddy?
How's it going, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Outstanding. I don't always get good signal down here. Sometimes I got to go outside.
Oh, well, it seems to be pretty good so far. We'll just roll with it. You know, we got to do, So kind of give my audience some background. Who are you before January 6th? You know, but like who is LW?
I'm School of Hard Knocks, from Louisville, Kentucky. Didn't come out of the best home. You know, group homes, mental institutions, foster care, all that good stuff. Just kind of had to battle through my life, and I did do a little time when I was young, and I got my electrical degree while I was in, and I've been doing that for a couple decades now. So that, you know, that's kind of the general synopsis. But, you know, School of Hard Knocks, it wasn't the funnest, but we made something out of it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you gotta make lemonade out of lemons. That's good. You said you're from Kentucky?
Yep. Louisville, Kentucky, born and raised.
Nice. I'm a West Virginia boy. Don't hold that against me.
I know. Well, you know, we're always the bottom two on the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it. you know why they can't solve any murders in West Virginia? Because the family tree goes straight up and there's no dental records.
We got hollers too. We got hollers and hog pens and all kinds of good stuff.
Amen to that one. So, you know, you're a January 6th defendant, and you know, what brought you to DC?
I guess to go back a little bit, you know, being here in Louisville, we had the riots start popping off. And, you know, I already wasn't kind of happy with the COVID stuff. And I saw my family, friends, and coworkers, you know, being accosted in the street. you know, I'm a construction electrician, so I do a lot of traveling. I'm all over the place. And, but, you know, I just felt a calling to get out there and defend my community. So that's where it all started. And I spent countless hours in my town. I've traveled the country a lot during all that craziness, doing security, you know, whether it be a medical protest, a rally at the Capitol, you know, just whatever, you know, wherever we were needed. I kind of started running with the security crowd. I'll tell you how much my heart talked to me. I was watching a live stream, and it was in my town. And I basically looked at my family and I said, "Watch my dog." And I got in my truck and I just rode down there. And I kept, you know, I just kind of never looked back. So January 6th was the same thing for me. You know, I was there in November and December in 2020. Also, and it was no different than anything else. You're going to go up to the rally, you're going to make sure everybody's safe, keep BLM and Antifa off people, have a good time, and that's it. You know, we're all, you know, upset and don't like things, and we have rhetoric online, and that's what they're holding against me. They're holding affiliations and they're holding rhetoric, you know, that would never be, you know, taken upon in all reality. You know, what I find funny is that, you know, running with the individuals that I was running with, we were always in contact with law enforcement, no matter what we were doing. You know, all that security we did for businesses and people and things. And then we get turned around like we're trying, you know, to be the bad people. That's troubling to me. You know, like, and I say, you know, I committed no violence, and I didn't, but it's probably because I was fortunate enough not to be unfortunate to some people. I didn't see a lot of what I've seen on these videos, you know, in person. And looking back and watching all these videos and seeing what really happened that day, I feel for a lot of y'all. You know, I mean, I'm going through my same thing. You know, I don't know. I'm worried about others, too. They charged me with the 1512, of course. You know, I'm not pleading guilty to that. But just seeing what's happening to people and knowing what they want to do to me, too. And they're good people. I didn't meet anybody along the way of the journey that were bad people. You know, there's a couple idiots every now and then. But, you know, I didn't meet bad people. And what's happening to, you know, so many people with this particular situation, I mean, it's really disheartening. You know, we're the unfortunate that we're awake, and we were awake. For me, it was just defense. And what I find kind of messed up too is, you know, the same thing that I think validates my actions and my intent and mentality, I think that's what's being distorted, is the intent. And the mentality, that's what's being distorted.
Yeah, that's pretty much par for the course. You know, they twist around people's intentions quite a bit. You know, I never denied being at the Capitol, but I definitely argue against their characterizations of my intentions, my motivations, you know, and that unfortunately is part of the prosecutor's job. Is to paint your intentions into their narrative to make it fit what it is they want for their case. You know, they assume that everybody went to January 6th to interrupt the election process, but you know, I've argued from day one that it is counterproductive to try to interrupt the election count because they were objecting to the election. That's what exactly. We wanted. That's what we were. Yeah.
Exactly.
But go ahead. I just, you know, I can corroborate what you're saying.
I'm looking for the conversation, man. I'll get on a soapbox and it'll be a family pack. You know, it's tough, man.
Yours, buddy.
No, I know, but I like having a conversation and you know, just, you know, wherever you want to kind of leave it. I'm cool with that. I appreciate you bringing me on tonight. You know, my brain's going 1,000 miles an hour, you know, and it has been for the past couple of years. So it's tough to turn off.
Understood. Well, you know, give us a kind of a breakdown of what I don't want to go into the details of what happened at January 6th, right? Because you still have a pending case. But what were you charged with?
At first, I was just under investigation. You know, the search warrant affidavit was the four common, you know, nonviolent misdemeanors that everybody else is getting, you know, the parading and picking and disruptive and on grounds or whatever, you know, whatever them four are.
Right.
And then my personal belief is because I won't give an interview, they want to ask me questions and the answers they're looking for are not true. So
when you say you won't give an interview, you're meaning you won't be interviewed by the FBI.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. I denied the same. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, they pretty much, you know, the way I see it, it was pretty much, you know, we're going to throw this on you if you don't cooperate. So I got the 15-12.
Yeah, that's a 20-year felony, you know, and that, no. In my opinion, is retaliation. You know, that's vindictive prosecution. And quite frankly, that in any normal court, that would be grounds for dismissal.
Yeah. My first plea, I've turned down four plea officers. The first one was 57 to 71 months. Plus they want to give me the domestic terrorism enhancement. Waiver of all my appeals, waiver of motion of the court for sentence reduction after the fact, give an FBI interview, and if the answers to their questions are not to their satisfaction, then everything is null and void, and everything I say can and will be used against me. Sounds like a great offer.
No,
but I'm open.
Yeah, that's not a great offer at all. That's almost 5 years for four misdemeanors. Like, no, that's not a good offer at all.
Right. Waiver of everything. I'm like, nah, probably not going to work, you know? And then they tried to get me to do the 15-12 on an open plea where, you know, I'm not waiving anything. There's no sentencing guidelines. And it's just whatever gets argued at the hearing. I was like, I don't think I like that one either. I got a public defender that ain't doing me no good. I had a hearing yesterday. It got postponed last minute, but I was texting with his investigator on my case and still never heard from him. Found out from the investigator about the indictment and actually had to get another J6er to go on Pacer because they had an account to pull up my indictment for me. So that's what kind of representation I got right now.
Yeah. And I was witness to that. I was in the chat on social media whenever you were discussing it. And then they said, here you go. And sent you a copy in DM.
That's why I marked out the phone number, of course, but that's why I went ahead and shared them screenshots. I was like, I mean, this is redunculous, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I can't even get a lawyer to talk to me. I mean.
Unfortunately, the representation of January 6th defendants is, you know, definitely subpar, to say the least. You know, my public defender, I suspected that he was sabotaging my case. That's why I fired him. And I brought in regular counsel. I went to the National Constitutional Law Union and hired John Pierce Law Firm. And John Pierce, you know, he's an absolute rock star. He's represented some really big names. He's truly a patriot. He's in it for the right reasons. You know, but it's costly. You know, I'll be paying his bill probably for the rest of my life. But, you know, they fight like hell in court. So, you know, if anybody asks for a lawyer, that's who I recommend.
I've actually been talking to a couple and trying to get some recommendations. I guess I'm going to have to. Yeah, I mean, my life's on the line, you know. Well, you know, I'm a name and honor guy. You know, my name, honor, and word, dude, I mean, that's meant the world to me for a long, long time. And I kind of feel like I'm having to defend that. You know, I don't take lightly when there's blasphemy on my character, because my character is golden. And I take pride in that. You know, at the end of the day, I got to look in the mirror, and then I'm going to have to stand in front of that judge one day. And I ain't talking about here on earth.
Right. Yeah, we all got to stand before God.
You know,
I hope to one day hear those words of well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, my biggest fear is to hear my creator say, depart from me, I never knew you. So trust me, I understand that wholeheartedly. You know, it's you got to stand on your own two feet. You got to stand by your convictions, stand by your faith, and own up to what you've done that, you know, is not good. And, you know, if you're in the right, if you're on the right side of history, if you did something out of the glory of God, then you just, you stand strong in it despite whatever may happen. You know, I lean very heavily on the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, it was three men. They were told to bow to the evil king Nebuchadnezzar. They said, no, we only bow to God. And he threw them into a furnace to burn alive. And when he threw those three guys in the furnace, looked down to watch him burn, he saw a fourth standing in there with him. The fourth is who we understand to be God, Christ. And Nebuchadnezzar ordered his men to stoke the flames even higher, to the point where the flames actually killed the men that threw them into the furnace. But they ended up walking out completely unharmed. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they walked out completely unharmed. They didn't even smell like the smoke of the flame. Not a hair in their head was singed. And that drove that evil king crazy. And long story short, he ended up becoming a believer himself. And I see that story as reflective of what we face as Americans today. We cannot bow to tyranny. And we have to stand by our beliefs and stand by our convictions and trust that God is with us. And no matter what happens, no matter how bad it may get, you know, myself, I'm being sent to prison. So I'm being thrown into the furnace, hypothetically. And I know that I'm not going to go in there alone. And eventually I'm going to walk out and be unharmed. And that may drive people nuts that want to destroy me, but it will eventually lead to the restoration of our country. And that's what we, the people, have to stand up and face, that we're looking in the face of tyranny. So we have to stand with our chest held high in our faith in both God and the tenets of liberty.
Amen to that. Preach it, brother. Preach it. You know, it sucks that it has to be us, but somebody's got to lead this pack and show the world.
To be honest, I thank God that he finds me worthy to handle this, because I feel that he knows that I can lean on him. You know, my experience in my life has led me to a point where I'm strong enough in my faith to constantly be leaning on God. I'm not perfect by any means. You know, I mess up all the time, but my faith never wavers. And so no matter what I may be facing, I know that God goes before me in battle. He's promised to prepare a table for me in the face of my enemies. He has promised that there is a purpose, that there is a plan, and whatever that plan may be, even if it's my own demise, I trust that he knows much more than I. And to quote the book of Job, though he slay me, I will trust in the name of the Lord. So even if I go to prison and get shanked by an MS-13 gang member, then okay, whatever you say, God. When I go up to heaven, I stand in front of him, I'll be like, wow, that was a trip. What's next? You know, like, I don't fear death. Death is a reward. And the life that we serve here is not necessarily easy, but he promises that it will be fulfilling. And that's, you know, gold is refined by fire. And he values us much more than gold. So it's going to be tough, but you can lean on him and understand that there is a better purpose, a bigger purpose than we could ever understand.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Speaking of the lockup and stuff, I mean, that bothers me so much to the core. So many of our veterans, they're caught up in this, and people that have never been in trouble, they've never even, they don't know that world. To have to go into those flames, because I know what those flames are. I did almost 10 years. And, that's my PTSD. And I think that's the hardest part that I'm dealing with, is just the actual thought of being back in them cells, because I worked so hard to get out of them cells.
Right.
And
I did a little time too in my past.
I worry about the guys coming out. You know, I really do. I worry about them coming out, because I know what it's like to try to reach, transition back into society out of that world. And I just hope. I think the one thing different about this is the community involved, the situation involved. Everybody's got support. You may not know that person, but you got support.
That's it. That's the whole purpose of the Sing for Freedom campaign, is to give hope to those that are suffering through this, whether they be defendants, inmates, or just family members, to show that there is an entire nation of people standing behind them. I'm very proud of what I started with that, because, I've gotten messages from guys inside the jail that said that the Sing for Freedom campaign is one major credit to them being able to make it through the whole first year of solitary confinement. They heard that America was singing along with them as they sang the anthem in the jail every night. And I think that's why God told me to start doing it.
I'll be honest, man, if it wasn't for the community, dude, I'd have done probably went insane by now. The community is everything. They're my family at this point. I mean,
and just as dysfunctional.
Right. Well, I fit in pretty good.
Yeah. Same here, buddy. Same here. So, moving forward, so we know what your charges were. What state, like, where are you at in your case right now? Are you heading to, you said you're going to be taking it to trial, but have you had like a preliminary hearing? Have you had a pretrial hearing?
I just got indicted. I just got indicted.
Okay. So you're right there at the beginning.
I was picked up on criminal complaint. We've been trying to work stuff out, and it just ain't worked out.
What was your arrest like?
I didn't get the Bearcats and stuff, but I had a 30-man team. They've actually gotten me twice. When they searched, I need to go ahead and tell this part. Most people know, but I'm not bashful about it, but when they raided me over J6 and searched my house, they found weapons. They found guns. Well, because I'm a felon, I got some charges on that too. And that's what they were trying to hold against me. They were trying to, work that angle. And I'm not Jeremy Bradino. Oh, did I say that out loud? So I was already facing those charges. They off the raid. It was like 30 of them, I guess. I didn't get the flashbangs and kicked in the door and all that, but they sent the whole the whole team. So I didn't get it as bad as some others. But what they did too was, I was charged in state for the weapons at first. I was on home incarceration for 7 months. I was in circuit court going to a pretrial hearing, still being denied my motion of discovery from the feds. They even denied the motion of discovery to the state prosecutor. So instead of letting the prosecutor and my lawyer, which was a private attorney on that case, I do have a private attorney on that one, instead of letting them just push it back in the back room, I know the hearing has to be pushed back, but we're not going to do it here. We're going to do it on the record. So we got in front of the judge and they had to admit on record that we couldn't have a pretrial hearing because we didn't have the motion of discovery, and even the prosecutor was being denied that motion of discovery. You ought to have seen the look on that judge's face. I wish I had a picture. You know, she's like, "What? Huh?" I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." You know, but so they had to tell me that they were going to indict me on the weapons. They didn't have to. They were just in my house. I didn't commit a crime with them. You know what I mean? So anyway, so I'm already on federal probation because they indict me, right? So I'm already on federal pretrial probation for the weapons charges in the Western District of Kentucky. Instead of contacting my PO, because remember, I've never been charged for J6 at this point. They didn't contact my lawyer. They didn't contact my phone number. They decided to send another tactical team to my workplace and put on a show on a criminal complaint. Not even indicted. That was May 25th of this year.
You know, we've been singing the anthem every single night at 9 p.m. Eastern to stand in solidarity with those that are politically persecuted. And after a while, coming up on 3 years now, it becomes more and more difficult because facing oppression and tyranny is not easy. Standing up for freedom is the right thing to do, but the overbearing weight of the federal government on my shoulders has caused a lot of tension, and I can feel it in my neck. Every night when I lay down, I used to wake up sore, feeling battered and bruised. But then I got a hold of a MyPillow. MyPillow 2.0 is a godsend. I can wake up singing for freedom freely in the morning with not a bit of tension in my bones. And I have never, never slept better. And then I also looked and found that they have not just pillows, but slippers and robes and clothes and blankets and those Giza dream sheets. Oh my goodness. They're so soft, it should be illegal. Go to MyPillow.com/S4F. That's short for Sing for Freedom. And also get an exclusive discount code of S4F for some amazing, amazing discounts. And if you want to use the old-fashioned rotary phone, you can also go to 1-800-662-1612. Put your orders in today. Tell them Pi sent you.
So under Rule 20, you can combine different cases in different districts into one thing. And so that's what I was trying to do. You know, I mean, I'm looking at like 18 months, 2 years tops for the possession charges because my criminal history is so old. They're not even allowed to use it against me. My criminal history is zero. Right. So they're trying to give me all these extra points and stuff. But I just, you know, I was trying to combine it on a plea deal, but I thought I'd get a nonviolent misdemeanor and I get my little 2 years or whatever for the guns. And I take my medicine, even though it sucks and it's Second Amendment and all that. That's a whole different argument. But, you know, I take my medicine and I move on. But then, you know, they start, you know, they throw the 1512 and domestic terrorist and all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, that plan went out the window. So that's kind of where I'm at. So I turned down like 4 plea offers. So now I just got indicted. So I'm waiting to hear, hopefully, from my lawyer which is why I'm putting a lot of this on record. Hopefully I hear from my lawyer and I don't miss my arraignment. You know, like I said, I had to get another right. J6er to even look at my paperwork.
Yeah, see, that part right is actually what confused me, because you were talking about having plea deals, but I knew that you had just been indicted. And so I was curious as to maybe it was a superseding indictment or something like that to, you know, figure out why you rejected pleas but hadn't just now been indicted. So, yeah, that makes sense. Now you're facing, the extra charges with the firearms, which, you know, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. I had a friend of mine that was arrested for January 6th, and they found a firearm in his house during that raid. And they ended up dropping the January 6th charges and just focused on the possession of a firearm. He lost his house. He had a multi-million-dollar construction business, and his wife left him. And then he had his kid taken away, and he'll never get his kid back. You know, it just completely railroaded this guy.
Every lawyer I've talked to, when they look at my case before they actually figure out what's going on, is like, "Oh, dude, you got to be more scared of the guns than you do." I was like, "No, the guns is the least of my worries." You know, I'll face a judge here, whatever. It's unconstitutional, man. You know, and hopefully there's some more stuff going through the appeals court on that kind of stuff. You know, where's the NRA and everybody, you know, for shall not be infringed. But anyway, I don't want to get off topic on that. But, yeah, that's what's going on, and that's kind of the way my case has played out. It's very confusing at times, you know, because I got different lawyers, and, like, I got discovery on my first case, finally, right? I fought for it. And my first dump was 500 pages. 130 of it was blocked out, redacted. But there was the, you know, pictures of the guns and stuff, but I got some of the J6 stuff. So I got a lot of that before the gag order. So I'm in one of them precarious situations, too. I've even brought this up to my lawyer and stuff. You know, I'm in one of them precarious situations because it's like there's information that's supposedly protected by this gag order, protection order. But yet, right. I had some of that information prior to the gag order. Some of that information has been released publicly. And not only that, even in my criminal complaint that you can look up, or I can share it with you, the damn White House put out a press release of my arrest.
The White House?
Yeah. Kentucky militia member. We got another one.
Oh, boy. You know?
Yeah. Big guy. A trailer park kid, dude. Now I'm like Al Capone or something. I was like, dude.
So,
whatever.
So you, instead of the White House, you mean the DOJ. The Department of Justice.
It's US.gov or whatever it is.
Yeah. The DOJ. Okay.
But, you know, some of the information that's supposedly protected by the gag order is in that press release. How does that work?
Right, yeah. Well, they can release it. You can't.
Yeah. So how does that, does that make it public?
You can share what that you can share their post, but you cannot share the individual documents yourself.
Ain't that crazy?
Right. What up, Andy Joe? Good to see you, friend. So, pardon my French, but your case is a bit of a shit show. I'm definitely hoping that things will work out. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, the firearms, especially being in Kentucky, that's the least of your concerns. The federal government is going to try to pursue and push as much as they possibly can. And they are definitely going to use your affiliations and the fact that they found weapons against you in court very heavily. I can already foresee that one. I know how they tried to come after me in court over just some basic, simple things. And they take and run with it as much as they possibly can. And, excuse me. Yeah, you're going to have a battle ahead of you if you're taking this to court. And, you know, if you make your own decisions, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not giving legal advice. But, you know, if they offer you a sweetheart plea deal, then you might be best to take it. But if not, you go to trial. Just be prepared that they're going to try to twist and spin things to match the narrative that they want to push. You know, the government tried to say that I was giving dog whistles, basically, to cause a second American Revolution because I made memes and posted the 12th Amendment on Facebook. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, I posted a meme of George Washington, and that was apparently calling for a second American Revolution. I had to remind the prosecutor that George Washington championed the peaceful transfer of power. So, yeah, we'll have that. But, you know, they'll take everything they possibly can to try to fit their own case, you know. So now that you've been indicted, how's your family reacting to this?
I mean, I really don't have much family. You know, the couple family members that I got, you know, I got, that care anyway, everybody's scared. They're scared to talk about it, really.
Right.
I wish they were more vocal, more advocate, but they're not. And then, most of my family, is Orange Man bad.
Yeah, you'll have that. Half my family disowned me. They told me one part of my family told me that they believe I belong to a cult because I thought Trump was a good president. Yeah.
Yeah. My uncle, which I really respected and had a good relationship with, told me to my face we should have all been shot. So we don't talk much.
Yeah, that's something he should have at least waited for a family reunion for. Jeez.
People are. They knew. I didn't really talk about. Nobody really knew what was going on at first, but everybody knew something was going on, just because my lifestyle changed. You know, everybody knows my lifestyle. You know, I'm a travel electrician, rip and run, never home. You know, so they saw the change in the schedule. So I tried to sit down and have a conversation with the family. And, it didn't go as planned anyway.
No, I can understand that. Some folks are dropping in chat, you know, showing you support. But Andy Joe here mentioned possibly ask your attorney about an Alfred plea. That might be better than just a regular plea deal. I'm actually not too familiar with the Alford plea. I'm going to look into that myself.
An Alford plea is when you just admit there's enough evidence to convict you, but you're not admitting any guilt.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know how to ask this. What message do you want to give my audience? Like, what do you want to put out there? I'm just going to give you the floor for a minute and let you stand on a soapbox.
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm just
about your case, about your story.
You know, I'm just trying to be a voice, for the voiceless too. You know, all honesty, you know, I got my own problems and I'm dealing with my own situation, but it's about the other people to me. It's about the whole situation to me. You know, like I'm blessed. I got a decent job and stuff. You know, if I ever need help, you know, I'll ask for help, but I don't need no help. You know, I'm okay. I'm free. I'm working. So I'm okay at this point. If I ever need help, I'll ask for help. To me, it's about everybody else. It's just about the whole situation. I worry about others more than I worry about myself anyway. That's just my nature.
Okay. I can understand that.
You know, I think I'm just like every other J6er, man. We're just waiting for people to stand up and voice, you know, the advocacy, you know, and it happens in different ways. You know, everybody that does, you know, whether it be the letters or the fundraising, you know, or these podcasts and just just the community in whole, man. We just need more people, and we need the American people, because the community are the J6ers themselves. Let's just be honest. Because most of the advocates for J6, not all, but most, were there anyway, right? We're all J6ers. So it's just a matter, you know, people that are scared to voice their opinion, people that are scared to speak, just like my family, you know, just like the friends or the coworkers that, you know, they're in your ear. Man, I'm praying for you and I support you. And I appreciate it. I'm not saying you don't, but we need more voices.
Right. Yeah. People will tell you privately that they're behind you, but mention it in public and all of a sudden they disappear. Trust me, I understand that one wholeheartedly. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I didn't speak up and try to help out. You know, you and I think a lot of like the same. We want to be out there to help and show support for everyone else, but also to bring awareness to what is going on because of the injustices of, you know, the prosecutor holding people in prison for 2.5+ years without trial, things of that nature, the really horrid conditions of the prisons, the bias within the judiciary, the fact that prosecutors are stacking charges, overcharging, over-sentencing, you know, twisting and lying about it. I mean, they're pushing this narrative that 5 cops died that day and all this stuff that is completely false. And, you know, smearing the fact that, you know, people that did die, protesters that did die, you know, like Roseanne Boylan, she did not die of a drug overdose, but the media still pushes that idea. You know, we've shown the video where Lila Morris hit her with that stick while she was laying unconscious on the ground. We showed that she was crushed by the protesters. And even the medical examiner report for Roseanne Boylan explains that she died from compression, what they called a compression asphyxiation. Basically, she was crushed, you know, and suffocated.
And dude, those videos in that tunnel are so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Those are hard to watch.
Don't watch,
man.
My show. Don't watch my show.
I mean, I still watch it. I've been searching the truth too, my friend. I've watched everything. But, you know, spreading the truth, you know, the community, that's what's helping me, you know. That's why I'm trying, you know, I'm speaking out and I'm active, you know. You know, I'm kind of new to going on podcasts and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, this is only like the second time I've done it. I did mail a few months ago. And, you know, but, you know, I've been all over Telegram and I'm all over Twitter, you know, spaces and, you know, trying to help all the activist groups and the people, you know, like the incarcerated, what tears at my heart. And I'm not looking for no kudos or nothing, you know, but like, I mean, I donate hundreds of dollars every month to incarcerated individuals.
That's very kind of you.
You know, because, well, my history, you know what I mean? I know what it's like.
Right.
So that's what tears at my heart. You know, there's so many great people doing so many great things, whether you're writing letters or you're helping the families or the incarcerated or you're on the legal side. You know, we can't do it all.
Right.
You know, so that's just, for me, my voice and a little bit of money is where I fit in, you know. And I just put faith that one day when I need some ramen noodles, y'all will help me out.
That's it. And, you know, this is a perfect time. I'm going to do a shameless plug, but this is perfect for anybody that does want to find out ways that you can help, whether it's with the commissary fund, writing letters, sending the phone cards, you know, getting a hold of congressmen, calling the U.S. Marshals, whatever it may be, different calls of action. Make sure to check out my website, sing4freedom.us, because that is a central hub of how you can get involved to help, whether it's to donate to the January 6th defendants. I have as many as I possibly can find listed on there. Of course, I always say, you know, I don't handle any of the funds. It's just literally a link that'll take you straight to their give, send, go, and you can pick any J6er you want to help out. That way it goes directly to them. Or on the Get Involved tab, you can find all of those organizations that are out here legitimately helping. You know, all of their finances are extremely transparent and open. And, you know, anybody that wants to do anything, you can hop on singforfreedom.us, and that's where patriots need to go to find out what they can do. No matter how small it may be, it'll make a huge difference. And folks like Dan here, he knows every little bit goes a long way, and it helps to make a big difference for them. Whether you're just putting a couple dollars on their book so they can buy some commissary, or if it's to get a phone card, or even helping families afford to be able to travel down and visit loved ones in prison. So, you know, whatever you're passionate about and whatever your talent may be, there's groups out there that can use it. So go to singforfreedom.us, find the Get Involved tab, and hook up with some of them groups. And also, if you are a J6er, and I'm sure you know about this, Dan, AmericanPatriotRelief.org, which is on my website. You can find their link there. They have their the hotline that any J6er or family member, anybody that's involved in that, can call to get pointed in the right direction. They can even have just a shoulder to cry on or someone to vent to, get pointed in the right direction of good legal assistance, whatever it may be. You know, too many people are buckling under the weight of the federal government. And so American Patriot Relief does outstanding work in helping to give relief to those that are being persecuted, especially with the hotline that they have. You can call in. It's 833-SAVED-J6. That's 833-SAVED, the letter J, the number 6. So, all right, commercial's over. But you guys get the point. Like, there's something you can do. And that's the whole reason I started the website. The whole reason I started the website is just to be a central hub where people can find out how to help. Yeah, of course, I highlight all the Sing for Freedom videos that I'm allowed to share, that, you know, people send in of them singing the anthem and post it online using the hashtag #SingTheNumber4Freedom. And that makes a huge difference because the families see it and it gives them hope to know they're not alone. So,
yeah, it's awesome, man. You know, and like you said, man, we all just got to fit in our own way, you know. It's God's path, man. Sometimes you just got to put your left foot in front of your right, you know?
That's it. And then, just close your eyes and step.
You know, let's see what happens, I guess. You know, it's not what I expected. It's not what I signed up for. But, right. You know, here we are.
Absolutely. So what are some of the things that you're seeing? Like at January 6th, did you see any of the agent provocateurs? Did you see police brutality? You said you didn't see much of what you're seeing on TV now. Or even after the fact, what type of things have you experienced in the J6 community that you want to highlight?
Well, yeah, that's a couple questions all in one there.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Well, you know, I mean, over at the Ellipse and stuff, you know, I mean, it's all good. There's a couple knuckleheads. I noticed, I did notice people concentrating on taking pictures. Other than that, really, you know, I mean, it was a huge crowd. It was cold. God, it was cold. That wind was brutal, dude.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I only, you know, and like this one person did stick out to me. They were Asian. And they were, I mean, I know there's no doubt in my mind. I don't know who they were, who they represented. I'm not even guessing. But I do know that they were concentrated on facial recognition. I'm a security guy. That's why I was there. I was, if you were looking at the stage, I was on the back left. I was in front of the Washington Monument, but I was on the back left of the crowd, on the backside, all them trees and stuff back in that little park. Perimeter, that's what we did. Just making sure people got back and forth vehicles, you know. I'm BLM Antifa guy. I mean, I've even made the comment to my PO. I don't give a shit. It is what it is. The only person I'm a threat to is Antifa. That's the only person I'm a threat to. And they ask for it. I don't do it if they don't ask for it. But if they want some, they can get some. But they're not going to pick on these people over here that can't defend themselves. Not right. On my watch.
Yeah.
Not FAFO. On my watch. Yes, sir. So, I mean, that's why I was there. But, you know, I don't want to, like, get in anything, you know, past the Trump rally, but, you know, on the way out, I have no idea what street I was on because I got lost. I actually had to GPS my damn truck because I was lost. And I was definitely heading the wrong way. But we come down this one street, man, and there was like 12 or 15 Antifa. And about half of them had ball bats, and they were bothering people. And I wasn't around anybody that I personally knew. And so we had to deal with that, you know. And then I moved on. But they were bothering people, and we couldn't have that. So really, that's about all I want to say about that day as of now. You know, it's not like I have anything to hide. It's not like I'm lying or, you know, whatever. It's just, I just can't.
Yeah, of course. The feds are watching this podcast. I get it.
Oh, everybody, I'm sure.
Trust me.
I'm sure. Yeah. Hi, Adam.
Yeah.
My guy's Adam. Hi, Adam. Okay.
Yeah. I have a few of them assigned to me. One of which is my federal prosecutor. I always say, hi, Sean, in the middle of my show, so, or at the beginning of my show.
Right.
They actually complained in my sentencing hearing because I produced so much internet content that he was like, Judge, I have a job to do. I have other cases. He was just doing so much.
Dude, yeah. The amount of money, that brings up a good point, whether you know it or not, the amount of money they have spent on surveillance. Think about it. Like all these people, dude, that's one thing about my case that, you know, I think is one of those elephants in the room that they might not want to talk about, but, you know, I'm gonna keep reminding them. Because I was doing all that security and stuff during the riots and whatnot, I've been under surveillance way before January 6th. I mean, they literally had a camera on my telephone pole, and I'm allowed to talk about that because that was in the original discovery, no gag order. They didn't even need a warrant. They didn't even need a warrant.
Yeah, it's a public space.
And I'm an electrician, and I didn't know this, but I know now. The utility companies get contacted by the FBI, and they put cameras on the utility poles, and they're bound not to say anything.
Right. You know, the FBI actually pays the utility company to rent the space on that pole.
Yeah, I never knew that, man. And I've been doing this electric business a long time. I never knew that. But I found that pretty, and I feel sorry for my neighbor. He got fucking busted selling 5 pounds of methamphetamine. Sorry, not my fault.
Right, yeah. I mean, hate to say it like this, but I wouldn't feel sorry for him. He brought that on himself.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't know that camera was there, so, you know.
I didn't put it there, you know.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, dude. My bad. I mean, he was a good guy. I mean, I think he's so dope. I don't give a shit. I really don't. But the surveillance, I find amazing, dude. I mean, because I've heard so many stories. And, you know, and I've seen my paperwork, you know, so I understand the surveillance side of what's been going on and the amount of money that they, I mean, it's unfathomable, really, how much money
yeah, right before
they spent.
Before they arrested me, they had surveillance teams, people tailing me, whatever, but they even had a police drone taking my picture, hovering over the place that I went to go get food. After work one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had I looked up at it, like, you wonder what that was. And yeah, there's a big old, it even had a little red and blue light on it, like a police car. But it was a police drone. Yeah.
What did I do wrong? How come I didn't get a drone? You must be a better patriot than me.
No, not in the least, brother. So, you know, what are some of the things that you've seen? Stories that you've heard of other people's struggles, and you're in the JD6 community. What is some stuff that you want to highlight?
I guess I mean, so many people are in need. It's hard to help them all. I mean, my heart's torn every day. I think the biggest thing is so many breadwinners. You know, I'm not discounting the ladies, man. You know, there's some stories out there that's horrible. You know, I mean, Victoria White, you know, it's just that picture is forever, you know, been branded on my brain. It's, you know, stuff like that. So many breadwinners, so many good men that are being taken from their families, and the women and children are suffering, you know, because of the, home I come out of. I mean, like, really abusive. I mean, I come out of a very abusive home. And when I mean abusive, I mean, like, I've watched Russian roulette, axes through windshields, hit upside the head with metal belt buckles, hit with monkey wrench, 8-pound pipe wrenches. I mean, I've been injured, you know, I mean, I come out of that kind of violent home. So one thing that I've always held a high regard for is a man that takes care of their family.
As American as apple pie, as American as peanut butter and banana with a little bit of honey. Based out of South Carolina, America first, American made, America grown, American harvested, no communist bees guaranteed, makehoneygreatagain.com. It helps keep America's working. It makes freedom taste oh so sweet. Completely raw honey, wildflower, not clover, because you don't need luck to find this good honey. makehoneygreatagain.com. Give the Donald a squeeze. Why do I say that? Because the bottle looks like Donald J. Trump. MakeHoneyGreatAgain.com. Use the promo code FREEDOM. Let them know that Pi sent you that little sweet deal that you're looking for to start your day, to brighten your day, and to maybe even make a pie for your leftist friend. Build some bridges. And then when they say, ooh, this pie tastes so great, show them the Donald Trump bottle, collectors, and watch their head explode. Little love and unity, sweeten the deal to help build bridges with those that might not agree that the orange man is the sweetest deal to come in 2024. MakeHoneyGreatAgain.com, promo code FREEDOM.
I've always held that in high regard. And seeing that being torn, it is really hard. You know, on me and my heart. You know, I've never been married. I don't have any kids. Not that my life's less worth, you know, worth while or whatever, but I don't have the women and children, so to speak, to worry about. I protect the others. I'm the fun uncle. You know, that's who I am. I'm worse than a grandparent, man. I will ruin your kid and send him home and just don't tell on me. You know, but that really tears at my heart. The families that are suffering, you know, the hurt in my mom's eyes. Because, you know, I tried really hard to become a man without a father figure. And I've had to learn the hard way. And I've tried to be a better person. I've tried to be a better son. For like the first time in my life, I felt like I worried about somebody other than me. And this is what I get. But, you know, the families, man, that's what tears my heart. I mean, you know, being in themselves and knowing what it's like, I mean, that's hard, too. But I guess, you know, if I really had to pick one thing, man, it's them moms. It's them wives. It's them kids. Those are the ones that's actually going to suffer the most in the long run by not having us around.
Right. Yeah, 100%. You know, I can definitely relate to growing up in a household of abuse. So I know what that means a lot. Not gonna lie, now that I know what she was wearing, well, I'm gonna keep an eye out for you in the footage. I won't point you out, but I'm always curious to see, like, oh, I know this person, I know that person. I've gone through thousands of hours of video, CCTV camera, body cam, open source. I mean, you name it. For the last 3 years, I've been diving deep into all of this. And I decided to just start releasing the footage on my own. I got tired of waiting on Congress and them slow walking stuff. And then, like I was telling you before, before the show, it was like 12, 13 weeks before the Speaker of the House said, oh, we're going to start releasing everything. I just said, screw it, and did it on my own. And every morning in this show right now, we started at 10 a.m. and we're still going, but I've been showing the footage, everything, body cam. We ran through the Capitol by location, and now we're going through all the body cams in alphabetical order, just rolling with it, putting it out there so people can see the truth. And it's just raw, uncut, unedited. I don't put a narrative to it. I don't give commentary. Every now and then I'll be like, you know, this is the timestamp for the video, or this is this certain officer, or if I see somebody who's prominent in the news that's already gone through their case, I'll be like, oh, that's the QAnon shaman right there. That's, you know, whoever, Jacob, not Jacob Chansley, but Jake Lang, or that's Brian Mock, whoever, you know, my buddy Matt Weber, he's already serving his sentence and they dropped all the J6 charges. So when I see him, I point him out. But, you know, right. It's just important for people to see the truth. And that's why I appreciate folks like you that just want to come out and share your story, but also point out yourself. And like you say, you're loud online. You're trying to help people see that the narrative we're being fed is not quite accurate. So we need to be able to put that truth out there and, you know, make sure we can change the narrative of the day, because that's important, that people see what truly happened. And, you know, some patriots did do some dumb stuff. I'm not ever going to neglect that. And I've said from day one that people that did break the law, they need to face justice, but that justice needs to be fair, true, and blind on both sides of the aisle. You can't let Antifa and BLM get away with Molotov cocktails and then imprison grandma because she took a selfie. You know, like that's a huge disparity.
Exactly. You see where they just picked up another 65-year-old woman in Texas yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's like, whatever, dude. Whatever. When we get off here, I'll send that public document, Mr. Adams, but I'll share that news article with you. Allegedly, approximately 2:37 p.m. Upper West Terrace doors, allegedly, is what the complaint says.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'd be happy to read it and share what's relevant in it. Is there any last words that you want to say?
No, man, I just appreciate you having me on, and just trying to let people, in all honesty, it's not like, because like I said, I don't need no help or nothing. For me, it's just, I want people to get to know me, you know who I am, you know, that way they can put a face and a voice and hear my side of right. the story.
You're a human being.
So just trying to do that and help spread the awareness, you know, especially for the people more in need than I am at the moment, you know, just keep spreading that light. Right. You know, but yeah, I think just for me personally, cause like, I don't need the financial help and stuff. So it's not about trying to get that for me. I just want to spread the word, try to get more people, to just kind of open their eyes and research and pay attention. You know, don't believe me. You know, I do that to people all the time. They're like, well, I'll tell you what I think, but I want you to go look at this.
Right.
Don't believe me. Go look at this and tell me what you think.
Absolutely.
You know,
now, I do recommend. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I do recommend starting a Give, Send, Go. And the reason is you need to be able to get proper counsel. And, you know, federal attorneys are not cheap. My legal bills are getting close to $200,000, especially with my appeals. And then eventually I'm going to end up pushing stuff up to the Supreme Court. So it's going to be well above the 200,000 even. So I know you say you don't need it right now, but you.
What concerns me is where I see they're taking or they're finding people, you know. I mean, look what they did to you, dude. That fine was ridiculous. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, well, it could have been a lot worse. The government said it was anywhere from 30 to 250,000 just in fines, plus restitution and everything else. So the fact that I only got $20,000 in fines, $2,000 restitution, and $550 for a special assessment to the capital architect, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but I mean, the judge was lenient when it came to my fines. But the issue is that, you know, if you do a give, send, go, you have the right to raise money for legal counsel, right? That was brought up in my case. We argued that, and the judge agreed, like, yeah, he has a right to raise money for legal defense. And when they looked at my legal fund, my give, send, go, it says right in there that I was using it for legal defense and also to help my family. Like, I was financially broke. They destroyed me. They cost me my jobs. They cost me promotions. They cost me another job. They cost me my business, you know, and I almost lost my house at one point. You know, I got a wife of four kids. I also run a dog rescue, and I take care of my father-in-law. Now I'm also raising my grandkids. And so, you know, I haven't worked since May of this year. And that's why I do this, because the government made sure I had nothing but time on my hands. So I figured I would use it to be annoying to Sean and, of course, get the truth out there and show the information of, you know, but my own little guilty pleasure is now I know that he's watching all of these. I kind of went into hyperdrive and started doing even much more.
Dude, when I found out that you did a dog rescue, I ain't gonna lie, that's what made me start paying attention to you, man. I'm a fur baby rescue daddy, and I love pit bulls.
Nice. Yeah, the nanny dogs, man. Pitties are beautiful. I love them. We get a bunch of those that come through because people, you know, they ditch them off, and every now and then we'll get one that's supposed to be aggressive and whatever, and we'll work with it and make sure it can be rehomed. And you know, that's kind of how I started doing it, working with the utility company. I found out that I'm really good with animals, right? But more specifically, I'm really good with aggressive dogs. When they go, and like you're going into somebody's yard or into an area that has a bunch of pit bulls or bull mastiffs or whatever, German shepherds, and they want to bite your face off, I was able to go in there with, you know, 5-6 dogs that are trying to tear me up and still work with high voltage electricity and walk out whatsoever. And the local dog warden heard about it, and mostly because my wife was bragging and I showed him some videos. We were always friends with him because we would foster through like the animal shelters and stuff and just bringing in animals when they would run out of room. And then he called us up one day and was like, hey, I need help going on a rescue call. There's one that's aggressive, and there's a couple that are in really bad shape, like neglect. And he's like, my assistant's sick. Do you mind if you tag along? I'm like, I need the extra hands. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I went. And from that day forward, it just kind of grew into this. Well, we have our own government, well, federal government sanctioned dog rescue, you know, like the 501c4 or whatever it is. I don't know. My wife handles all the paperwork side of things. But, you know, we'll get dogs sent to us that are bite cases and whatever, and rehabilitate them, do behavioral modification, and get them all back to health, and you know, whatever's needed to be done. Which now that I'm headed to prison, that's all going to stop. That it destroyed my dog rescue. We actually, the last dog we took in was a purebred Siberian Husky that was overbred and beaten so badly she has seizures. She had 14 skull fractures, 2 broken ribs, and so.
Wow.
You know, we got her back up to health, and you know, I realized that the behavior modification side of things, she's never going to be able to go to a new home, and so we brought her in as a permanent. And you know, that's a passion of mine. But I am really good with dogs. I mean, the utility company, I made them tons of money. The company I worked for, there was actually other utility companies that would contract me out to them to go clear out all of their aggressive animal cues. Like they have a stash of jobs that need to get done, but they can't get them done because there's aggressive animals on the property. And I've worked with everything from rattlesnakes to capuchin monkeys to dogs and horses and angry bulls. Like I did a make ready engineering job through Champion Farms in Ohio, which handles a lot of like rodeo bulls, like big, angry, testosterone filled suckers. And I went and did that entire, you know, 350 acres by myself. Yeah,
that's a great story.
Yeah, yeah, I learned how fast I can run. There's a few times I had to cut for the fence because they was coming at me pretty hard, and there was multiple, you know, like there's three bulls coming at me at once, and I was like, I'm cornered. Beeline to the fence. But the biggest trick, honestly, with them is just to put the electric pole between me and them, and they, you know, they can't. The pole's in the way; they can't do much. So anyway, I do appreciate that. I try to do what I can for everybody in the J6 community. I feel like I'm kind of blacklisted sometimes because people don't respond to me or whatever. But anybody that is, you know, wants to come out and share their story, let them know. Like my platform, as long as I'm out of prison, my platform is here for everybody. This is what I want to do. I want to help everyone share their stories and get that truth out there. Get their side, because everybody's just inundated from the talking points that they hear on the media. They never call and ask any of us, like, hey, what's your side of the story? So this is an opportunity for everybody to share whatever it is they want to share, even if they don't want to talk about their case. I mean, I get that. I don't want you to talk about yours because your case is pending. Me, I've been loud from day one. I don't care. I speak truth. I know I'm on the right side of history. I wasn't perfect that day, but I definitely didn't throw Molotov cocktails at cop cars and burn down buildings and crap like that. So
yeah, we don't deserve years in prison. You don't deserve what you got neither. And that's the problem. Like you said, if we did a little bit wrong, whatever, but we definitely don't deserve this, So
I appreciate that. I know I do deserve some time though, because again, I wasn't perfect that day. I'm not trying to make myself sound like, squeaky clean, but I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't attack anyone, even though the government would push, he tried to punch and kick and all whatever. They showed no evidence to that other than, me forcefully resisting their attack by just standing still as they hit me with the riot shield, or, a point where one guy was beating another guy with a metal baton as he laid on the ground. And I put my body in between him, put my forearm out up against his shield and was like, hey man, let him up. I said it a bunch of times, and just, they beat the crap out of me. And then I walked away. I didn't go after the cop. I just used myself as a human shield to try to keep that old dude from getting pummeled to death. But no, I do appreciate it. And I appreciate you coming here and sharing your side of things, sharing your story. And, my platform is for the voice of J6. So anybody that is trying to get their story out there, recommend them to me. I answer every message that anybody sends. And, check out my website. There's ways that folks can get involved, help, and you can contact me directly through there as well. You name it, man. Whatever you need, just let me know. And your wish is my command, within reason, of course.
No, I understand. Now, I appreciate you having me on tonight, brother, and, just having a little conversation, getting to know each other a little bit. I think these are moments we'll remember, and just got to, keep our faith and, continue to move forward, man. Continue to move forward. That's all we can do.
That's it. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Yes, sir.
Well, I certainly do appreciate you, Livewire. I love that name, by the way. It's spoken like a true electrician, Livewire. but I do just appreciate you very much.
Just be careful. I'm hot.
Oh, geez. So either way, I do recommend you starting up a Give, Send, Go so you can save up some money for a public or for a private attorney for this case. And once you do get one set up, you can set it strictly for legal fees and, just don't touch it. Whenever you have an attorney, you can say, here's your retainer and do whatever from there. If you're worried about the courts coming after you for whatever. But once you get one set up, let me know, and I'll help promote that. I'll push that out there because, I mean, you need to get a real attorney. The public defenders, I've only seen one public defender actually do a good job. And it was unfortunate that the judge that the public defender did a good job in front of was one of those judges that Mother Teresa could walk in there. And he would still sentence her to, you know, just ungodly amounts of time.
Right.
And the funny thing is that public defender was very open about being a Democrat and not supporting Trump whatsoever. But she did her job the way she was supposed to and fought like hell for that J6 defendant. And I got a huge hat tip for that woman.
Yeah. Yeah. You get kudos for that. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm at that point, you know, this has kind of always been in the back of my mind, you know, the knowing how things have been working and, you know, and having the other, you know, case and the way my situation has been progressing and knowing how it was going to progress. That's why I was kind of holding off, on getting the paid attorney. I was just kind of using this PD to get through the initial motions because I knew it wasn't going to matter anyway.
I wouldn't wait. The biggest mistake I think that I made was not firing my public defender sooner and letting him file motions, because the motions he filed were absolute trash. That's really the big red flag to me.
I can't get one to file motions for me. Hell, I can't even get them to talk to me. So right. I don't think, right. You know. But right. No, I know what you're saying. And, you know, I've already started, like I said, reaching out. I'm trying to do a little bit of homework. You know how it is. You know, some people like some people and some people don't like some people. And I don't know. It's hard. For me, it's trying to find somebody that's fair. Come on, Rusty. On the price, you know, because, I mean, I don't have a ton. Dude, if it's going to take me $200,000, I'm just screwed. I don't have nowhere near nothing like that. But, yeah, I'm just looking for, you know, somebody. I do want somebody that has handled cases that are relevant to mine.
John Pierce Law, NCLU.org, John Pierce Law. They're handling like 40 different January 6th cases. And it's a lot, but they go in there and they fight like hell, brother.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can afford them, though. I've already got some pricing on that, and I'm not sure I can afford them.
Yeah, I can't say anything to that. I'm going to be paying this off until my grandkids are my age. So
no, I hear you. Yeah, because see, part of my, I'm connected in paperwork. I'll just put it that way. I don't have any co-defendants, but I'm connected in paperwork.
Right. No, I get that. Well, I certainly appreciate you, sir. And again, don't hesitate to reach out, man. Even if you just want someone to bitch at, like I'm here for you. And if you know anybody else that wants to come on, let me know.
Yeah, it was really good talking to you, man. Probably been too long without doing it, actually. But
Yeah, I get it. I try to keep to myself, man. I've been kind of blackballed by the community at some points. Which I don't know why, because I've done nothing but just scream from the rooftops for everybody else and tell them like, hey, I'm here to help, anything I can do, and rah rah, let's go. But
yeah, I try to stay out of all that drama, and that's kind of what I was talking about with the lawyers. You know, everybody's got their opinions, you know. And I know some people don't get along, but I'm the guy that I don't care. I'm not in the drama. Right. If I ain't got nothing nice to say, I don't say nothing at all. And because like to me, like I said earlier, to me, this is bigger than me, man. You know, it sucks that it's happening to me and I hate this and it's hard and all that, but this is way bigger than me. So, I'm not worried about all that clout and shit. And, if somebody's worried about clout, whatever, I ain't got time for them. You know, if you're a grifter, fine, whatever, you're a grifter. You know, your actions speak louder than your words and people will see, you know, so the way you carry yourself in life, people see. So I just, I stay out all that crap. I talk to who I want to talk to. I do my fight the way I see my fight and for justice, And that's the philosophy and the mind frame I have on that. You know, I don't get into all that crap. I don't care who likes who. I talk to who I want to, when I want to, and I say what I want when I want. And God bless you. If I got a problem with it, whatever, dude. I don't give a shit. It's no sweat off my back.
We need more Americans like you, man. It's like a high school sometimes. I try to stay away from it at all too, but it, for some reason it just finds me. But either way, yeah. God bless you, man. I appreciate you. I'm going to get and cut this out for the night. We're coming up on 10 hours that I've been streaming. And quite frankly, I'm hungry. I need to go get something to eat.
So, I hear you, my friend. Well, I appreciate you having me on, sir.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime, man. And like I said, you know, anybody else that wants to come share their story, just send them my way.
Yes, sir. All right. Go.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut him out. I thought he was saying God bless America. Folks, as soon as he gets a gift send go set up, I'll let you all know, because he is going to need help with attorneys. Truly just a wonderful guy. I've known him for a long time. I've talked to him on Telegram. I've talked to him in chats. You know, he's always been a solid guy. I'm so glad that he finally came and wanted to share his story with me and to share it with all of you. But you can hear in his voice his concern for the entire J6 community. And that speaks a lot about his character. And men like this should not be getting railroaded. You know, even, okay, the gun thing, like, who cares? Second Amendment, take a slap on the wrist for that. But they're going to try to destroy his life for January 6th. And this is just starting for him. And so keep an eye out. Help him out in any way that you can. Stay safe. Stay comfy. And remember, no matter what, the Brandon administration ain't got nothing on We the People, because we're Americans, and it's going to stay that way.
You need to get you some gear. Get a hoodie, hat, t-shirt, coffee mugs, any type of drinkware, really. They even have tumblers that say, I prefer some Keck in my Covfefe. But all sorts of Sing for Freedom merchandise, decals for the windows of your car. That way you can show everybody around you that you believe in America, that you believe in freedom, and that you're willing to stand up and speak out and fight for American values, to protect our children, to stand up for those that are being politically persecuted. And you can also snub your nose at the Brandon administration and say, enough is enough, old man. This is our country, and we are not going to take it. We will not comply. We do not consent, because we, the people, are making patriotism sexy again. All sorts of sizes, styles, colors, anything that you're looking for. p2pprinting.com/pianon, p-i-a-n-o-n, p2p printing. That's p like patriot, the number 2, p like patriot again, printing.com. That's where we go for all of our merch, and every bit of it goes to help keep what we're doing alive. Freedom Unchained being a thorn in the establishment, getting the truth and the information, the people's stories out there away from the mainstream, lamestream talking heads on TV, as well as getting America to sing the national anthem every night at 9 p.m. because it has become a national campaign making an international difference, standing up for freedom and singing on behalf of those that are being politically persecuted and telling the Brandon administration where they can stick it. So go check out p2pprinting.com/pianon, or just click on the link in the description box. Take you directly to my page on their website and get your gear. You know you can make it look good. So there you hear it from him himself, straight from the mouth of somebody who is in the midst of this fight. And obviously he is very passionate and has very strong feelings about not only his situation, but the situation of over 1,200 people now and their families, especially the children, and how this has been affecting them. Why, you ask? Well, that's for you to decide. You hear the story, you see what the media says, you hear directly from the other side, and you can come up with your own conclusions. Now, I can tell you my opinion. I think many of them are being railroaded for a political agenda. Not all, but there is a majority of cases in surrounding January 6th that don't pass the smell test of freedom, justice, and liberty as we understand it in this nation. And that's something that's at risk. We lose our freedom is something we can never get back. And that's why many people, like Dan, are very passionate about the Constitution and the tenets
of American values. I wish you all the very best. Hope to see you next time. And don't forget, no matter what, the Brandon administration ain't got nothing on We the People, because we're Americans, and it's going to stay that way. Stay safe. Keep it peaceful and patriotic, folks.
Oh, say, can you see?